you, Bell Choir. Would you please rise and join me in our call to worship? The kingdom of God is at hand. The mercy of God is made known. The grace of God is abundant for all.
We praise you, O God, for your compassion and your love.
Accept our grateful praise as we come to worship you today. And let us join together in our opening hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. You can find it in your hymnals at number 400 or on the screen. Seated. And join me in the opening prayer. Lord, you have called us here this day for healing, hope, and transformation. As we listen to the scripture, pray our prayers, sing our hymns, and hear the words of wisdom, open our hearts to hear your claim on our lives, that we may fully and joyfully serve you. Amen. And children, if you want to come on up and join me. Got any children in this? Oh, you got a couple.
Come on down. Can I have a seat somewhere? There you go.
All right. So do you see the picture? Thank you for the reminder to use the microphone. Do you see the picture up on the screen? What is that? A chest? What kind of chest? Like a treasure chest. If you could open that up to find a treasure in it, what would you want it to be? Money. Okay, money. We often think that way. Any other treasures that you would want it to be? Or is money the going What do you think? Money's the going thing. Okay. Why do we like money? Why do we want money? Thoughts? Okay, it's valuable. Yeah. It helps us buy things, gets us our necessities, right? Helps us with food, clothing, a house to live in, electricity. So there's good value to have money, right? So there's a passage that we're reading today in the scripture that talks about money and a rich man who had a lot of it. And he came and had a conversation with Jesus, and he wanted to know, what do I need to do to enter the kingdom of heaven, of God, to live my life with God fully? And Jesus kind of told him, well, you know, are you following all my commands? And the guy said, yes, I have been. And he goes, well, there's just one thing that you still need to do. And this was a man who had a lot of money. He had a lot of treasure. And Jesus said, you need to give it up and give it to the poor and then come follow me. What would you do if you were told you've got to give up all the treasures that you have to follow Jesus? Would it be an easy thing to do? Nope. And it wasn't for this man either. He basically went away sad because he loved his money more than he loved Jesus. And in a lot of ways, it's not really about money. It's about anything that we put first before God. And a lot of times, for many of us, it can be money. But it could be even our families sometimes we put first over God. But if we go to God first and look to him first, he says that we can be there in a relationship with him, and that we will actually find favor in his eyes when we give up anything that we love more than him to be with him. So that's my message for you today, is to remember to put God first. And I'm going to say a little prayer, but then I'm going to have you, today is money day, coin day. So the message kind of fit well with what we're talking about, right? So hopefully you're all got some coins with you and are willing to put those in the buckets. So let's have a little prayer, and then I'll have you guys go collect the coins. Father God, we want to bring glory to you. And we know that sometimes we would rather give that glory to other things and to accumulate things that are more important to us than you. And we know we need to put you first in our lives. So help us to do that, because we know that putting you first is the best thing for all of us. So we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Can you help us? Go to the other side there.
Now let us sing our prayer hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, verses 1 and 2, and it's number 452.
Let us go before the Lord, presenting our whole selves this morning as we present ourselves to the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you this day with lots of different things on our minds and on our hearts. There's so many things that we can experience in life. And so many things that we are drawn to that you call us to see. And there's so many things that our desires want as well. There's like a battle going on within us all the time, and we don't even know it. So Lord, we ask that you would be in our midst in a way that you speak to each and every one of us. That you help us to discern all the different things that come our way, to be able to know what is your will? What is your way? How we might follow you. Lord, often in our prayers and our liturgy, we talk about sacrificing all that we are for you. Because that's what you did with your Son. Your Son came and died for us. For our life. To give us life. So help us to understand what that means for us. What is sacrifice? What it is to be there for one another, to be there for you, O God. May we want that more than anything. A relationship with you that is everlasting, one that is ever present. It's not just something that we anticipate, but it's something that we have right now. So open our eyes to this beauty of the new life that you have given us. To be able to experience life with all those who know you in a different way. And may our joy be found in you. Lord, there are all these things that are on our hearts as well that we wonder if you even care. We see the devastation of the hurricanes. We see loss every day. Lord, help us to understand that your love is always there in the midst of all of these things that we experience. So give us encouragement and hope
in each of our different situations that we may be experiencing today. We know there are some that are not with us today that are challenged in hospitals and just at home in sickness. So Lord, we just ask that You would be with them in a special way, that You would bring them healing in the days ahead, so that they too can walk with You in abundance, more fully. So let's come together with one voice, sharing the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we do have abundant life in Christ, and it is something that we should be able to express in our lives. As we understand more of the love that we get, it is easier for us to share with those around us. May we be able to let the world around us know that they are loved through our existence and service through this church. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join with me in the prayer of dedication. May the gifts we bring before You this day be signs of our gratitude for Your gifts. Bless this offering that our gifts may be vessels of Your overflowing grace. Through these gifts, may others come to know the joy of Your salvation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Today we are reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, 17 through 31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age. Houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields within persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Recently, I went to my 40th Greenan High School class reunion, and there are about 30 out of my 200 classmates that came. We had a good time sharing some old stories, looking at our yearbooks that people had brought, and updating each other on our lives since we graduated. Surprisingly, it was a really good time for me to catch up with friends from high school. And then 2 weeks ago, on vacation, we returned to Iowa, where we had lived for 5 years in the 1990s, to spend time with friends that we had met over 30 years ago. We too shared stories from the past and some of our present adventures. These things have caused me to think more about my younger days and the journey that life has taken me. When I take a step back, I can see how the first half of my life was following the path of cultural design to strive after life's treasures and pleasures. The striving starts early, friends. I can remember when my parents finally allowed me to ride my bike anywhere I wanted to in Enon. That meant I could ride to Lawson's convenience store or the M&B drive-thru to get candy bars and a Mountain Dew. But to buy anything, I had to ride all over town to find the empty bottles to turn them in to have enough money. But what a rush it was to finally get the goods. My senior year of high school, several of my friends had their own car already, and I wanted my own too, but I couldn't afford it, and my parents couldn't either. So I started focusing on how to get my first car. I saved as much as I could from my job, which was very little, and any gifts of money from birthdays and Christmas. But it wasn't until finally, after counting my graduation party money, that I had enough to buy a 1971 Monte Carlo. It was a sweet ride, even though it was mostly rust and paint over it, but it was still good for me. The feeling I had was intoxicating, and so much more so than that Mountain Dew. Who would have known a car could have such an effect? There was something special about that first car, but oh, let me tell you what a feeling it was when I cashed my first engineering check at Wright-Patt. And then getting my own apartment and Suzanne and I's first home. Then the paychecks got bigger, the cars were nicer, the homes were bigger and nicer, and the house and the garage were full of stuff. Life treasures abound, yet still striving for more. This is the way of the world, but it isn't the way of the eternal kingdom of God. The ultimate treasure, eternal life, It changes everything. How does eternity change our perception of seeking life's treasures? Our text today from the Gospel of Mark helps us to understand, how do we inherit life's eternal treasures? We will notice Jesus flips our world upside down to reveal the eternal perspective. Now, even though God planted the seed of eternity inside us with this longing for life to be everlasting, we don't really grasp what we long for until we have an encounter with God. You see, it is by God's grace that we can make this connection in our minds and in our hearts that eternity is a reality that God intends for us. And then once we are aware of eternal life, it is natural for us to want to know, how can we attain it? The man we meet in our text today longed to know the answer and didn't hesitate to ask Jesus, who had become a widely sought-after expert on the law. Mark described the encounter Jesus had with this man like this. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." This interaction reveals our basic natural flaw that needs corrected. It is at the root of our striving in the way of the world. It is important to know that Jesus was considered to be this wise teacher of the Jewish way of life. And this man was a Jewish man desiring to be assured that he was in good standing. It is also clear that the man had considered Jesus to be righteous in the law, calling him good teacher. You can even sense the excitement in his voice when he declared his own goodness in keeping the law. It is as if he didn't catch Jesus' comment about no one being good but God alone. Did you catch that part? If not, don't beat yourself up, because we desire to be noticed for our goodness too. So much so that we have become accustomed to praising each other's achievements, and sometimes, like this man, we praise ourselves. Following the way of the world, we are driven by the glory we receive, the feeling that we get when we accomplish things or attain what we strive for. If you were here last week, you remember last week we talked about being created for the glory of God. To inherit life's eternal treasures, we live for God's glory. We are not here to achieve or to be good in each other's eyes. All glory is God's. This is why we don't earn or attain eternal life. It is a gift from God for those who glorify God. So we must break this habit of striving for life's treasures as the goal of our life, if eternity is what we long for. Mark continued his description of the interaction Jesus had with this man, writing, "Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, 'You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.' But when he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions." This man was shocked at Jesus' response. He was shocked because, according to everything his culture had taught him, he was living a God-favored life of prosperity and status, and expected Jesus to tell him, "Eternity is yours, good and faithful servant." He was living what was considered to be an abundant life. Now notice it says Jesus looked at him with love before responding. Jesus saw the desire in this man's heart to have eternal life with God. But he also saw the man's dedication to attaining all that the world had to offer. Jesus attempted to redirect him to devote his life to following the way of the Lord, not just the commandments, as he chased after the world's treasures. To inherit life's eternal treasures, we commit our lives to following Jesus. J.D. Walt, the primary contributor of a daily devotional, which I read titled The Wake-Up Call, wrote something this week that might help explain what I'm trying to say. He commented, "The real prosperity gospel is the Father blessing us through Jesus with us and the Holy Spirit filling us all the time, no matter what, come what may. It is through the fire that Jesus forges your soul with all His goodness and glory." See, it is our interactive relationship with Jesus that should be filling our life abundantly, rather than filling our life with the world. This is why after Jesus finished responding to the man, he turned and addressed the disciples, saying, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Here's where Jesus flips things upside down, right? Life's eternal treasures have nothing to do with our personal treasures. Our wealth and status that we attain in life are not a measurement of God's favor or assurance that we are secure in our eternal hope. Having wealth is not wrong, but wealth having us can provide a false sense of security that separates us from the Lord. We can distance ourselves. We can distance ourselves from a relationship with Jesus because, well, we've got this. What if Jesus asked you to sell everything and go to where He was leading you? How would you respond? With shock and grief? We may think it will never happen to us, but it does happen. It happened to my family when we were called into full-time ministry. It was hard. But as we took steps to let go of what we attained, we were assured over and over in our full dependence on Jesus. But hear this, we don't have to be called into the ministry to experience this kind of assurance. To inherit life's eternal treasures, we just surrender all to the Lord. Surrendering everything to the Lord doesn't mean we won't have anything. It means we are free. Free to serve the Lord, and our generosity grows as we loosen our grip on all that we have to impact the mission and ministry of Christ. Surrendering is also how we make the transition from striving after life's treasures and pleasures to joining Jesus in a life that is everlasting. Mark concluded, "Peter began to say to him, 'Look, we have left everything and followed you.' And Jesus said, 'Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age. Houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life.'" As I mentioned, surrendering all doesn't mean Jesus will leave you wanting and without. We may have hardships in the name of Jesus. That's because eternally focused living is different. I do want us to understand that what we gain in this age that Jesus talks about is the abundance of life with the many people and resources that are shared in the name of Jesus. It is not about building our kingdoms. Jesus says the reward of our surrender is 100-fold and even more. Think of it this way. We make this transition from our personal kingdom to the great expanse of the eternal kingdom. To inherit life's eternal treasures, we build eternal relationships, not personal kingdoms. See, we have a hard time separating ourselves from the glory of our life's treasures, even though we know they are temporary. We have to remember that everything is possible for God. And God is the one who created us to live eternally in His presence. And Jesus made a way. And not only that, He's shown us the way for us to join Him. Eternal life is a gift. Not something that we strive for like we do to gain our place in this world. So to live now and eternally with the Lord, we can inherit life's eternal treasures. Now, as we give all glory to God and commit our lives to following Jesus wherever He may lead us, surrendering all that we have, including ourselves, to the Lord for His purpose to build eternal relationships with as many as we can. So let's expand our perspective to the reach of eternity, to free us from the striving for the temporary and experience an abundant life with Jesus forever and share the love of Jesus that we have already experienced. Amen.
Let us now stand and sing our closing hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. God of Grace and God of Glory. Verses 1, 3, 4, number 577 in your hymnals.
There's a transition that we need to make in our lives from striving to being. We strive for the world, or we be as we rest in the Lord. I encourage you to find a way to be with the Lord in order for you to experience abundance in a new way. An abundance in life in Christ. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.